Welcome to Acorn to Oak, a tree podcast rooted in real stories and growing knowledge from soil to canopy. Today, we're talking about something most people see every day, but don't always think about: mulch. For a lot of folks, mulch is the finishing touch that makes landscapes look clean and tidy. But in reality, it plays a much bigger role in soil health, tree health, and even sustainability. We have ISA-certified arborist and co-owner of Bluestone Tree, Graydon Bloxham, and we're talking about where mulch and compost actually come from, how Bluestone Tree's recycling facility turns tree waste into useful products, and why those materials are so important for soil health and long-term tree care. It's all connected, and once you understand the process, you'll never look at mulch the same way again. Hey, Graydon, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, yeah. Anything exciting going on with you?
Getting really excited to go to Costa Rica in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Leadership team is headed down there for almost 13 days or something.
Nice. Very exciting. Well, would you like to dive into our topic today?
Sounds great. I'm excited.
All right. Let's just start out by, why did Bluestone get into recycling?
The tree service was producing a lot of green waste, and the local green waste facilities just couldn't handle the bulk anymore. We ended up at a time of growth in the tree service that the green waste yards actually shut us off. We couldn't take our material there anymore, which, you know, the limbs and trunk, you know, all things trees.
But, mm-hmm.
And we had to do something. So we basically doubled down, and we decided that we'd buy a piece of ground where we could take our tree debris to. And we, for a couple of years there, we bought the land and some equipment to handle it, but we were hiring in someone to do the grinding and the heavy lifting portion
okay.
of it. It took about 2 years. 2 years we bought our first grinder, and then that was kind of it. It was like, okay, we can produce our own mulch, we can mm-hmm. produce our own products. We got to go all in, right? Retail sites, bulk sale outlets, all sorts of the iniquities of it, right? And so that was back in 2019, really, was when we bought that first grinder, which was a big investment for us. We had to buy semis and excavators, and, you know, it's not just like, oh, you know, we're going to recycle our own material now.
Mm-hmm. So when it started out, you bought the land just because you were running out of places to dump your trucks after a day's work?
Yeah, and it was a really logistical nightmare for us too. As we were gaining crews in the tree service, people didn't know, like, okay, where's the most efficient place to dump the chips or to dump mm-hmm. the logs, and are we going here, are we going there? And it was almost a full-time job, being like, oh, Mrs. Jones is taking the chips and mm-hmm. you know, Bob's taking the logs, and so we just streamlined that with, like, nope, everything goes to our location, right? You don't have to question any of it, just that's where it goes.
Yeah, so crews were chipping on site in the beginning as well.
Yeah, yeah, which is a really great point, because we actually changed our tree service model around how to do the work. We got rid of chippers. We bought storm-style debris trucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it cut down on manpower, cut down on maintenance. It made it a lot safer to do tree work. So now we just, yeah, haul it all, one truck, mm-hmm. back to the facility, unload it, and off they go.
Nice, nice. Do you want to start talking about the mulch you're producing?
Yeah, that's kind of the best part.
Yeah, when most people think about mulch, they're thinking about how it looks. And from an arborist or soil health perspective, what role does mulch actually play for our soil and trees?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because most people, 80% or so, are just look. And there's so much more to mulch than that. It starts off, it's a ground protectant for the soil under it. We call it a cover. From there, there's a lot. There's nutrition, there's holding moisture in the soil, there's available moisture for the plants or trees. There's a lot there, really, to start unpacking.
It also is a protection against, like, mechanical damage for, like, mowing and trimming, right? Keep your tree trunk safe.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a really great point you brought up, because most landscaping has, like, a tree ring or mm-hmm. a shrub ring or a garden bed, and what that does is actually gives a little buffer space for your lawnmower or your weed whacker when you're going around there, that you're not, you know, getting wrapped up in your bush and tearing mm-hmm. the bark off your bush or something like that. So those mulch rings definitely play a part in that.
Can you describe what type of mulches that Bluestone Tree is making and why they're beneficial over other varieties of mulch out there?
Yeah. Yeah. We started off with undyed and natural whole tree mulch because that's what we had. We were getting all parts of the tree. Didn't matter if it was roots all the way to leaves, right? So we were just grinding all of that, which is a good thing because you're getting a very biodiverse product. You're getting a little bit of everything, bark, heartwood, leaves, twigs, so on and so forth. And we developed two products we called it. We called it premium mulch and we called it regular mulch. And the only difference really was sizing. And okay. And there's a kind of a misconception about sizing of mulch. The sizing of mulch is something that we will get into later, but premium is a finer ground mulch, mm-hmm. and the regular is a coarser mulch. And they're the same product, they just serve different purposes.
Okay.
And what we found here locally is that the premium mulch is, what it's called, it's premium. People are putting it in their flower beds, their tree rings or shrub rings. They're using it as walking paths. We're even using it for erosion control. When we took on the burden of opening up the recycling side of the business, we also realized that we can make another product, which was still wood chips, which, you know, there's a difference there too from what you're going to buy at a landscape yard wood chip compared to a tree service wood chip.
Mm-hmm.
A tree service wood chip is going to be it's going to be stringier. It's going to have a lot more leaves and contamination in it, where a wood chip that you buy from a landscape supplier like myself is actually a very uniform, very clean wood chip that is made mostly from just pure wood.
Mm-hmm.
There is some bark mixed in with that, but you're not getting the leaves, you're not getting the twigs. And that's why you get that really uniform, like, playground look with wood chips. So those were the three products we started off with. Later on down the road, we started doing composting. That's kind of its own bag of tricks there. Stay out of the sciencey part of it for now, but we were collecting from these green waste facilities a lot of leaves, a lot of grasses, manures, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically anything that was being dumped off, even some of them have some food waste mm-hmm. in them. So we started grinding that, mixing that. Now we offer a decent compost.
Okay, nice. Bluestone Tree is working to expand the recycling department. You're bringing in colored mulch this season, is that correct? And could you explain exactly like what the process is, as well as what are the dyes made of?
No worries. So we've been producing what I would consider the four core products for close to 6 years now or so, 6 or 7 years, the premium, the regular, the wood chips, and compost. And now for this year, we're going to offer colored mulch. And what we found is that a lot of places really want to buy the core four,
mm-hmm.
But we have to provide the colored mulch to get their business. And so with that, this year, we're going to be offering a dark walnut colored dyed mulch
mm-hmm.
and what is a real dark black dyed mulch. Both of those products are very, very safe for the environment. There's a lot of misconception around
that. A lot of people can give it a bad reputation. Can you explain what it is that people are afraid of with color mulch and why they shouldn't have that fear?
Yeah, and I'll tell you that I was on that side of it, the mm-hmm. worried side of it. When we got into recycling, it was like, oh, we don't want to fall into that stereotype that mm-hmm. we're using waste woods, waste products, dyeing it so that it looks nice and it's not good for my landscape or maybe not good for the neighbor's dog, which is all really a misconception, because as you dive into it, which you have to as a producer, right? The dyed mulch is really just iron oxide and carbon. It's like basic elemental things that are already in the soil. And both of those products in the soil, even in, not great quantities, mm-hmm. but, let's call it a moderate quantity, are inert in your soil. I mean, they don't do anything for it. They don't hurt it. It doesn't alter your plants, nothing of that nature.
So the color dye isn't going to alter your soil in a positive or negative way, just the same as mulch would be a positive.
Yeah. And so, if you know soil at all, you'll know that like soil has iron oxide and carbon in it. So it's like, oh, well, it almost sounds beneficial that these things will be added to your soil. But the problem is that it's at such a fine level that it's inert. It's not the same carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I knew a little bit better way to explain it, but it's just, it's not the exact same nutrient-rich, available-to-plant carbon that's actually in your soil. It just falls under inert platform. It's there, but it's not hurting or really gaining you anything.
Yeah, and then color dye is just an aesthetic component for clients and what they want to see in their landscapes.
Yeah, this kind of plays into a an interesting thing we have here in the United States. A lot of HOAs require that if you're going to use a mulch, it has to be this or it has to be that, right? And so as a producer, you just kind of have to fit in those niches.
Okay, yeah, it's interesting. Well, let's talk about some mulching practices. So mulch is actually great for your soil. It benefits your trees and plants within your landscape. What are some things that you see or you've seen that are a big no with mulch that can actually be harmful?
Oh, we'll just start off with the best one.
Yeah.
Everybody's probably a little bit aware of this, but like volcano mulching, I don't know if you're familiar with this. It's the best. You know, you drive by a park and there's this beautiful little, you know, 3-4 inch caliper, brand new planted oak tree. Mm-hmm. And it's got 3 yards of mulch piled 12 inches up the base of the tree, up onto the trunk. And that's totally unideal. The negative would be considered a volcano. Like if you're going to look at it and you're like, oh, look at that mulching. It looks like a volcano. That's not what you want. Mm-hmm. What you want is a donut. You want a really flat, more like pancakey donut.
Okay.
Right? Where it's around the base of your tree, but there's actually, you know, like, let's give it a little buffer, like a 3-inch setback from your mulch from the trunk of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that's doing, think of it like a little blanket for your tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's protecting those roots. It's holding in moisture for those roots, available moisture in the summertime. It's keeping the roots cool in the summertime. As well as in the wintertime, it's keeping those roots covered from, you know, the harshities of winter, you know, frost, freeze, thaw, cycles, and just extreme colds.
Yeah, so what is an appropriate thickness for someone to put down their mulch?
So what I would recommend for a new planting is somewhere between that 3 and 4 inch range, especially if there's never been a mulch ring there before, because, you know, you need to kind of snuff out the grasses and the weeds and things like that. So that 3-4 inch layer is good. It still lets water soak in, but it's not like holding it from getting to the roots, where if you go any thicker than that, that can happen. And then you're looking at just general maintenance of your mulch rings. I don't know if you're familiar with like a weasel tool. It looks like a little rototiller looking spiky thing.
Yeah.
You can roll those in your mulch rings and it'll like fluff it up and create pockets and places for water to go, and it'll freshen it up looking. And you can also, like every spring and fall, just give it a, you know, a half a yard or something like that, you know, whatever, however big your ring is, to just like freshen up the look and freshen up what's going on. Because over time, your mulch is, it's breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming available as nutrients for your tree, for the soil. It's not just like a one-time thing. You kind of have to keep maintaining it.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit about like turf and weeds. Why is it beneficial to keep that away from your trees?
Well, the best part is that you're using a natural product that will break down and feed the soil. A lot of practices out there, you'll see like, oh, I don't want the weeds or the vines or the you know, the bad things growing up around my, you know, new beautiful tree. So, you know, you'll cut the sod off and you'll lay down plastic or something like that.
Yeah.
And what that causes is just a raincoat for the rain to not be able to get to your new tree, right? So we want to use something that allows the tree to flourish and feed the soils in the tree.
Yeah, and so the mulch is also helping eliminate competition, right, from those weeds and that turf to take away from your tree's root system?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you talked a little bit about what type of mulch you have. Can you give our listeners why you might choose premium or why you might choose wood chips?
No, that's a great question. And there's a little bit of misconception here too. Like you'll talk to one landscaper or someone of credibility, and they'll tell you, you know, like, oh, I only recommend wood chips, or I only recommend mulch for your mulching or your walking path or your flower garden or something like that. That's not always the way that it needs to be looked at. They're not competing with each other. They're truly just a little bit different. They come from the same place, right? It's all tree debris.
Yeah.
And so what you really need to pay attention to is the sizing of the material for the application that you're going to use.
Okay.
Right? So if you have a beautiful little flower garden or vegetable garden and you want to keep the weeds down, but you also want to amend the soil and hold in moisture and stuff like that, what I would recommend is a smaller size product. And it can be a wood chip or a mulch. It really doesn't matter. But what you want to look for is that smaller legume size, right? You want that all broke down, because what it does is it decomposes faster.
Okay.
It helps feed the microbes. The microbes get in there. they start breaking it down, and they make it available for the plants quicker. Where a larger size product, doesn't matter if it's a chip or a mulch, which the difference is just what machine it's been produced through.
If it's a
big chip flake or a big grinding, it just takes a long time for it to break down.
And so if you're looking for nutrition in your soil, that might not be the right one. The premium or a smaller wood chip size would be more efficient if you're looking for like soil health.
Absolutely. A large flake or a large chip is used a lot for erosion control because it doesn't wash away in the rain. If you only really want to do like weed control in a mass setting, then a larger, coarser ground product is always more efficient and cheaper to produce. So that's what we always recommend. But far as one or the other, it can be either. It's you want to look at the sizing first.
Okay. But there's not going to be any harm if someone decided they liked the larger size of a wood chip for their landscape bed. They're still going to get benefits, just it's going to take more time because it takes slower to break down.
Absolutely.
So there's really no wrong answer when it comes to mulch. When it comes to your landscape bed, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah, you're totally correct. There is no wrong. It's better than none.
Yeah.
There you will hear a little misconception that like a wood chip steals nitrogen from the soil.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
And what's actually going on there is that the soil isn't being starved of nitrogen. Mm-hmm. The microbes are eating the wood, which is causing the microbes to have the nitrogen. But what the microbes are doing is actually freeing it up so that the soil and the plants can use it.
Okay.
So it's not like it's being stolen. It's being transformed to a usable product.
So it's still available?
Yep.
Okay. So to expand a little bit on this topic, a lot of people treat landscape problems like symptoms instead of root causes. What's usually missing?
Good soil health is where it starts for us, in our opinion. To talk a little bit more about that is, you know, you've mentioned like, oh, you can walk up to a tree and you say like, oh, look, it looks a little like it's got some chlorosis or something like that, right? You need to look at where the tree starts. You got to look at the ground first. One of the things that we're really recommending for any landscape is if you're having problems with something, the soil or the leaves will tell you. So you can get soil samples done at your local extension office. Most towns somewhere close to you have this. So you just like run in there, let them know what you want to do. You don't really have to know anything about soil to do that. But if you're having problems with your landscape, that's where it starts.
Okay. They actually give you a kit to go home with, or do they come out?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
I've seen it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So in a larger like agricultural setup, the co-op will come out and they will actually help you.
Mm-hmm.
But like for your flower bed or something like that, they'll give you this little plug cutter. It's like a T-handled stainless tool. Mm-hmm. And you just like shove it down in the ground and they'll say like, oh, we would like three or four of these plugs is what it's called. And you'll dump them in a bag and you just take it back to them. And a lot of them, due to grants and things like that, they do it for free.
That's awesome.
And what you'll do is you'll get a basic like carbon nitrogen understanding ratio of your soils. You'll get like an understanding of how much organic material is in your soils, and then it'll break down into all sorts of different elements, and that's where it takes a little bit of studying. But in my experience, just like we're sitting down having a conversation now, like they'll sit down and have a conversation with you, like, oh, look, your soil might be a little acidic, or it's a little alkaline, or you've got lots of carbon and lots of nitrogen, or something of that nature, and that's where you can start treating it with products like ours. It's not that you can treat it overnight.
Yeah.
You know, but you definitely can treat it long term.
Yeah, speaking of treating, you talked a little bit about compost as one of the items that you're making at the recycling facility. What role does compost play in soil health?
If you love the idea of mulch, right, you'll love the idea of compost. Because mulch is all of the free things that are out there in your landscape, you know, in a tree, but compost is more.
Okay.
It's kind of like, it's like taking a vitamin and supercharging it, maybe. I don't know. It's more decomposed. There's more organic matter. There's more microbes. It's more biodiverse, and it's more available to your plants. When you start developing compost, it's basically carbon and nitrogen, and you put it together, and you stir it, and you add water, and you add oxygen, and the microbes get in there and it starts breaking it down.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's happening, that breaking down generates heat. And when you have the right carbon and nitrogen ratios, that heat gets actually quite substantial, 160, 170 degrees. And that just means it's working. And so we basically take what's going on in your flower bed when you add in grass clippings and mulch and wood chips and things like that, and you're mixing it with the soil, we're doing it at our site, and it's happening faster at a higher level.
Yeah.
And then you can just have compost to amend your soils with.
Do you mind just explaining, like, if I were a homeowner and I purchased some compost, what would be the right way I should apply this to, like, my tree, as well as are there any wrong ways? Could I cause any harm with my application?
Can't really cause harm. There are some wrong ways of doing it. There are some right ways to do it. And the things that I would recommend is that if you feel like you need to amend your soil, that you should start with that soil sample.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get with your co-op, get with your extension office, get that soil sample done, and then you'll have an understanding of what it needs, right? Most every landscape can benefit from good compost.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, it's like, okay, it's fall time.
Mm-hmm.
My flowers have, you know, gone, or so on and so forth, or I want to add in a new flower bed, and it's like, let's start with compost. Compost with the soil, it's called an amendment. So you're now amending your soil.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting in microbes, nutrition, available water, which sounds funny, but not all water is available water to plants.
Yeah.
And so now you have this rich soil that needs a little biochar. We'll talk about some biochar,
okay,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically, you've added in this really good compost at, like, first. And that's the trick right there. If you don't get it in there first, that's where you can kind of mess it up. So if you put in a really heavy mulch bed,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, my landscape isn't as good as I thought it could be, you run into a situation where adding compost on top is the wrong thing to do.
Okay.
Right. The compost needs to make its way intact with the soil. That's why we call wood chips or mulch a cover, because you're covering up what is the good soil, the good compost, a little bit of biochar, and you're holding that all in with your mulch.
Okay, why don't you explain what biochar is and what's the benefit?
So biochar is basically readily available carbon.
Okay.
And this is the good carbon that I was speaking about earlier. It's different than the carbon that we use to color the mulch.
Okay.
And how it's different is granular biochar looks like kind of like coral reef. It's got a structure,
mm-hmm.
and it's got all these little tunnels, and water gets in there and soil gets in there, microbes get in there, and they kind of do their dance.
Okay.
And so what that biochar does is that it's in there, it's facilitating the movement of what you want in your soils.
So it's adding like more porous space to your soil for nutrient and water to get to your root systems? Is that the point?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
And it's in that process then adding in good carbon,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the soil, which most people need good carbon in their soil. It's another one of those testing things. Let's find mm-hmm. out what your soil looks like. But for the most part, good carbon is always good.
And is that something like a arborist would just sprinkle over the top layer of the soil? Or does it have to be worked in? Or?
So there's a couple different ways. There's liquid products
mm-hmm.
where we can come in and inject it into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what you're doing is you're mixing biochar and other nutrients with water. We come out with our rig. It's got like a 10-inch injection needle, and it's got like, I don't know, 30 PSI or something like that. And
mm-hmm.
it sprays it into the soil. And what it does is actually kind of breaks up the soil a little bit.
Okay.
While it injects this in there, which is really good if you have like hard packed clays and things of that nature. Or you can use granular
mm-hmm.
where it is. It's more like spreading salt in the wintertime. You just
like
you go out there and you've mixed your compost in there. Now you've shaken out a layer of this good biochar and, you know, and then you'd cover it with your mulch.
Okay.
A lot of people probably don't know kind of what biochar is though.
Yeah, it's newer to me.
Yeah.
I'm learning as well.
Yeah, and this isn't a product that we make,
mm-hmm.
but we have went through the time to seek out good providers ourselves, and we've been using it for some time now on trees and things of that nature. But really what biochar is it's a piece of wood. If you think about it this way, it's like a wood chip. They put it into a machine, and that machine is very hot. I don't even know. It's definitely hot enough to combust the wood. But the difference is that there's no oxygen in that chamber. They've sucked the oxygen out. So we know that there's three parts to a fire, right? Heat, fuel, and air.
Mm-hmm.
So they've removed the air portion of it so it can't catch on fire. So it literally just sits in there and smolders. It becomes this little crystallized version of what wood would have been, right?
Yeah.
And what you end up with is just really good carbon.
The whole recycling process is pretty like magical when you think about it, that we're using trees to help give trees their nutrients back. It's a nice like life process there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Well, and if you know how plants work, right, they're pulling the nutrients from the ground.
Yeah.
They're stealing, right? Okay,
yeah.
Borrowing the nutrients from the ground. And so it's like, it's kind of our duty to put it back.
Yeah, because like a natural forest floor is going to be a lot more organic and have higher nutrients where we strip it here in urban environments. So,
oh, absolutely. If you look at a forest floor compared to, you know, your residential lawn or something like that, a forest floor is just so much. It's such a higher humate environment. You know, there's all the things. There's earthworms.
Yeah.
There's beetles. There's leaves. You know, it's all falling back in there. And it's, as you walk through the forest floor, you probably experience this, like it's soft.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's like, it's always wet. It's always kind of muddy, but it's not muddy. It's just soft.
Yeah.
And that's that humate layer that's just extremely beneficial. And we're trying to bring that, you know, to our cities, to our landscapes.
So to wrap this up, if homeowners only remembered one thing about mulch and soil health, what would you want that to be?
I think what I would say is that if someone is curious about their landscape, doesn't matter if it's a shrub or a tomato plant or a tree or their lawn, it's that if you care about what it looks like, its health, do the testing. Because you don't really know anything until you do the testing.
So start with your soil.
Yep.
And work your way up.
Start with the soil. And nice. And as you fix the soil and you make the soil the place that your plant wants to live, it'll all thrive.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Graydon. Appreciate having you today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for listening to Acorn to Oak. If you enjoyed today's story or learned something new, join us next time as we keep growing tree knowledge from acorn to oak.